only 48 hours until the 2024 draft will kick off. The San Francisco 49ers will more than likely make their selection at 31st overall. And I say more than likely because it's a very real possibility that they could move up in this draft and take a tackle, is what I'm thinking. If the 49ers do decide to make a trade that would be interesting to see would be somebody that maybe is connected to the 49ers in some form or fashion. So someone like the Miami Dolphins would be really interesting to see if they would be willing to be a trade partner with the 49ers. They're at 21. I believe the Colts are another interesting one for many reasons, but I would say, you know, in the past, the 49ers have been able to make a trade. And again, the one that obviously sticks out to most people recently is the Javon Kinlaw trade for DeForest Buckner. And so again, that was a first round pick. So a player for a pick situation. This would be more moving up and probably giving up, I would think, future picks to move up. So those are two that I was thinking about. And then another one would be the Saints. I want to say they're 15th. And so somewhere in that top 15 range is what I think it would take to be able to get somebody like let's say Fautanu from Penn State, somebody of that level. And so that's a possibility. But what I wanted to do today is kind of go over, and I know I said last week I would try to do with trades, without trades, but what I want to do actually, what I was able to do was come up with a list. Now, this is not based on the expert's opinion necessarily on who the best player is at each position and where they grade them. This is more my own personal grading system that I did, and just based off of everything, based off of injury history, competition, just everything, measurables, all that stuff, to come up with a list of my top two players at each position. And again, we can talk about where these guys might get drafted, and I've talked about it at length already, but I've mentioned how I think offensive line and obviously at cornerback and maybe even defensive line or at edge could still use not just more depth, but more impact players. And then you're going to have more depth at like tight end, linebacker, and those types of positions. Okay. Running back, those position groups. So with that said, thank you so much for joining me. I am Guy Deal, and this is the Golden Pick Podcast. And as I said, I'm really excited for this draft. And I think it's going to be a really interesting draft, not only because the 49ers have 10 picks, which I don't see them ending up with 10 picks and making 10 picks on Thursday night. I see the 49ers picking about 8, maybe 9 players at most. And I actually recently tried to do a mock where we only selected, 8 players. So I was trying to actually narrow it down even more, but I couldn't find a trade partner. So it's possible that that'll happen to the 49ers on Thursday. But, you know, if they want to just trade some of their picks away, because they have several late picks that, although I've said in the past there's a lot of depth in this draft, the 49ers are more than likely not going to be able to bring in 10 new players. So some of these guys, and remember, I'm not even counting undrafted free agents, and I think the 49ers still will probably pick a few of those guys up just to have 90 men in camp to be able to have compete. But I just don't see so many guys being able to make this team, the final 53. And so with that said, it makes no sense to me, just looking at the numbers, looking at the depth chart as it stands, not to mention looking at how many guys the 49ers signed. And as I've said, I'm not saying that all those guys will make the team, but when you sign guys that have already been in the league and you're basically putting in good faith that these guys can actually contribute to your team, and you're putting them in a situation where you know that you're investing. That's what I'm trying to say. You're making an investment in these players based on what they've already done. And so I don't see 10 picks happening. That being said, let's give it a shot here with at least each of these position groups, because I do think they're going to start out at either offensive line or in the defensive backfield. So here are some of the players. And again, I know some of you guys might have some guys rated higher than this. Just keep in mind, I went through a lengthy process to determine guys that I think are not only going to fit the scheme, fit what the 49ers are looking for, but also be guys that are durable and all those kind of things. Because one guy, for example, that I left off of my offensive line, but he is one of my favorite guys to watch on the film, is Amarius Mims. I didn't put Mims on there for some of the injury concerns and things of that nature. So with that being said, I did put Graham Barton and Jordan Morgan as my offensive tackles. Now, my top two. Now, I know people think that they can kick inside, especially with Barton. He's played some center. He can play guard inside. And I know that there's a concern, too, that some of these guys' measurables, whether it be arm length or some of those other things, come into play for them to be able to be a tackle. But I also want to trust the tape and trust my eyes when I look at these guys and I analyze what they did at the position that they did play and in the amount of starts that they played. And I still think that Barton and Morgan were durable, that they were consistent, that they had good pass blocking, good run blocking. And so for me, those two guys still stand out. Another guy that could be, you know, 2A in all this would be Tyler Guyton, and he's the next one. So he's a big tackle out of Oklahoma. But for me, if the 49ers are there at 31 and either Barton or Morgan are still on the board, and I'll throw Guyton in as well, I would take any one of those three with a 31st pick. With the next pick, I think the 49ers should address corner. And I'm not saying they will. They haven't. And someone tweeted at me the other day that the 49ers have not invested in a cornerback higher than the third round in the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan regime. And it's probably true. That sounds about right to me. They haven't. That doesn't mean that they haven't invested in first round or second round type talent. I don't remember where Charvarius Ward was picked, but we can all agree that right now, if he were to be redrafted, he'd be a first or second rounder, probably late first, maybe early second. But the talent level is of a really, really good Pro Bowl corner. And a really good Pro Bowl corner should not go after the second round and should really probably not go after the first round these days. But so it doesn't mean that they don't have that level of talent at that position group, which means that they probably would draft a cornerback highly if they really, really liked him. So for me, and this is one of my favorite position groups to do, because I have been, and it's been fun at times, but it's obviously a little bit frustrating too, because you don't know when it gets really close. But the top two guys for me are Max Melton and Renardo Green. And so for me, Max Melton's been up there, and he's been a fan favorite for a lot of guys for a while. I mean, it's the physicality, it's the quickness, it's the instincts, it's being able to have the vision on the field and being able to track the ball beautifully. And again, it's everything for me. And he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a really good pro. But the one going into the second slot was what was tricky, because for the longest time, I had Chris Abrams drained there, because he just gets so many passes deflected, so many passes defensed, I should say. And so it's tricky, because you see these guys that in college, they may not have huge interception numbers, but they're always there to bat the ball away and break up a pass. And so you start to kind of think, gosh, you know, maybe it was just in college and they'll be able to get more interceptions as they get into the pros and adjust and grow. But for me, I still just the more polished player out of the two who also gets a ton of pass breakups is Renardo Green. One of my favorite players to watch, just really fun, really smart player, really technically sound player, but still has enough of the physicality and aggression you'd like to see, has the size. And so Max Melton and Renardo Green, if they're there at 63, If they are available, I would take either one. And then Chris Abrams Drain would probably be my next one, right below those two. But those two would be my top two. Now here's where it gets really, really fun. Or, well, again, frustrating, depending on what kind of fan you are and how you're doing your draft board. But with that third pick, okay, with that third pick in the third round, well, it's not the third pick in the third round, but the third pick for our draft for the 49ers, and which will take place in the third round, this is where you can go a few directions. I've seen people doing mocks, whether it's 49er content creators and whether it's Twitter, etc. People sometimes take Cedric Gray here. They might go, so they go linebacker. I see people taking running backs, which as a 49er fan and as a diehard fan, I think most of you can agree with me that I definitely don't want to take a running back that early for a million reasons, but not only because the 49ers don't do very well picking running backs in the third round. That's still, if the guy that you really want is there and he's a need, I say fill it. But that's not a need for the 49ers. And again, it's not an investment the 49ers want to make, not as big of an investment. And they've shown, and thirdly, they've shown that they can get a running back later in the draft or even undraft it and get plenty of production from those guys. So that's not a position group that I would touch before the fifth round, let's say. You know, maybe late fourth if some guy drops that you really, really like. I mean, I really like the running back out of Notre Dame. I think his name is Audric Estime. I really like him a lot. Very good runner. And he could drop into the third, fourth round range. It could. And then maybe you pick him up with one of your fourth rounders or in the fifth. That would, I don't think he'll last that long. But that would be a scenario that I'm more attracted to when it comes to that position group. But I've gone D-tackle here a lot. And the reason I go D-tackle here is because of the depth at D-tackle. I've said in the past that it's good depth. I would say that it's pretty good depth until about the fourth round, fifth round. Then I think there's a huge gap there. There's a pretty big gap. I say that in the third through fifth range, there's a few guys that I really, really like, and I'll mention those in a second. But if in the second round, okay, or even third, a guy like Brandon Dorlus is there, I would take Brandon Dorlus. I don't think he will be there. I think he'll go early second, maybe even back of the first, but he'll probably go in the early second. And Brandon Dorlus is a guy, and I do consider him a D-tackle now. I know he's about 6'3", 285, somewhere around there, but I think that you can kick him inside instead of having him on the outside, and he'd be really impactful in the pass game and the run game. And again, another Oregon Duck. I know the 49ers just end up with getting these Oregon Duck defensive tackles, just seems like every few years. But he's just a guy. Again, if you watch his tape, you understand why I really like him. It didn't matter to me what school. I just really like his game. Very, very explosive player. And I really like his strength. I really like the way he can break up double teams if he needs to and still make the tackle. He's great against the run, which the 49ers do need to address. It wasn't something they needed to address until late in the year, but as things wore on, you could see that is a big deal. And so Brandon Dorlus is one. Here's another one, Rook Aurora. We've talked about Rook a lot, and he's at the top of a lot of people's defensive tackle draft rankings. And so Rook Aurora is a guy that if he's there, I mean, if he drops to the third round, I'm definitely take him. I mean, if the 49ers have the 94th overall in the third. And so I would take him because I think, much like Brandon Dorlus, I think that he would just be such a disruptor, and he would be able to rush the passer, but also stop the run and be extremely effective doing it. So he's just a beast. And so if either of those guys are there, those are my top two defensive tackles. But if we're going into the third round, let's assume we picked an offensive tackle and a corner. Those two guys are more than likely gone. I am just a big fan of Dewayne Carter and Tyler Davis. So in that third through fifth range, where I usually take a D tackle, it's Tyler Davis and Dwayne Carter. Now, Tyler Davis is actually Rook Arororo's teammate at Clemson. So I've mentioned him in past episodes, and he's a really, really good player to me, especially as far as just making sure he holds the point of attack, that he is a guy that he doesn't really let too many guys get past him. I think that I feel as though he wins his battles. He might not be dominant or as dominant as Rook Arororo, but he still is a guy that is very effective, and he can, again, stop the run. But I also think he's a really sneaky good pass rusher. I really do, as a D tackle. But I really like his potential in the NFL to actually have more sacks than he did, and be more of a force when it comes to rushing the passer than he was in college. So I just, again, really like the strength. I like his ability to shed blocks. I think he's a really interesting player. And again, Dwayne Carter is the other one, Mr. Duke, as they call him. Dwayne Carter is just an absolute monster for the Duke Blue Devils this past season and a few seasons. And he's just a guy that he does move people back. Absolutely, he's a people mover, as I like to say. He likes to push guys and put them on skates constantly. And he's somebody that I do think he would be great against the run, and maybe not as much against the pass. I actually think that Tyler Davis is he's the speedier of the two, but he seems to me like he would be a little bit more of the one that, of the two players, that would be a better pass rusher. I think Dwayne Carter, more built to eventually maybe get coverage sacks, things of that nature, but he's probably built a little bit more to stop the run and to just really plug things up, make sure that maybe take on double teams and allow our linebackers to get in there for the sack and things of that nature. But those are my two guys in the third through fifth round. Great, great value at D tackle. And then as we go on, we can take, whether we trade up into the third round, which is very possible, or whether we keep our pick in the fourth round. And this is where I start taking wide receivers. And so for me, it's very hard because you can go ahead and take a wide receiver that is a legacy pick, as we've talked about, because they'd be around this range. They probably still would be available. Or you can look at the draft board and just say, yes, I like the value there and I like the player, but I like this other guy a little bit more, and he's not a legacy pick. And so when I say legacy pick, I'm obviously talking about Brendan Rice, Luke McCaffrey. Those would be guys that would be there around the third, fourth round range. I still personally, based on the play I saw, the size, and the potential, I think, to be a really good receiver long term, I think that the work ethic and the size and the hands, all those kind of things, I still do like Brendan. I did put him there. And it wasn't just for the fact that, he's obviously the son of the greatest receiver ever. I really do enjoy watching the tape. Now, I don't think you should reach for Brendan. I wouldn't like say, oh, go into the second to take Brendan Rice. No, because I do think that there's enough receiving depth in this draft and some really good receivers that I'll talk about in a second. But there's enough of that talent there and some guys that can, whether they're returning punts and some speedy guys that I don't think you need to reach. But when you look at the whole package, 6'3", 210, I really like the route running. I like that he's a guy that he is quick. I think that he's, especially in those first few steps, he's quick. And he can run away from people. I mean, he's not as blazing fast as some of the fastest guys in the league, but he can run away from people. And so I do like Brendan Rice personally, just in terms of what the 49ers need. They need more size at receiver. I don't think they should be picking another guy that's about 6 feet. I think that they need to get into the 6'3", because I do think that outside of what you're going to get from Kittle in the red zone, and at times from Brandon Ayuk and his length, even though he's not very tall, he has very long arms. I think that it's really important for the 49ers to have more of a presence at 6'3 and above at receiver. I really do. And so Brendan Rice is probably the guy I would take in that third or fourth round range where I would start to take a wide receiver. Another guy I really, really enjoy watching is Javon Baker. Just incredible, incredible burst and quickness. He's somebody that gets quicker once he gets out of his break, and very strong, very strong. This guy, not many corners are going to be able to just rip the ball from his hands. Very strong player and somebody who also knows exactly where his feet are in, on those boundary catches. You know, and those kind of things really matter, especially in our offense where it's meant to be a timing offense. It's almost like the old Bill Walsh offense used to be like the dance steps, right? They said if you know the amount of steps, just like for the quarterback, you know when the receiver's going to come open, you know where on the field they need to be. And I think that Javon Baker would do a great, great job at that, much like Brendan Rice would. So I have Brendan Rice and Javon Baker as my top two receivers in that third, fourth round range if they're there. Now, if they're not there, then you got to go my other favorite legacy pick. But again, and a great, great athlete and one that's a small school guy in Luke McCaffrey. And I think that Luke, one thing I really liked about Luke is you turn on the tape and you see a guy who he catches a lot of passes in traffic. He catches them one-handed. He catches passes when he's getting just absolutely hammered. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on around him. He hangs on to the ball. He's a good yak guy. I think that his route running helps him a lot for sure with the yak. But I also think he's fast enough too to where he can run away from people for a while. And so that he's a guy that if those top two aren't there in that third or fourth round range, Luke McCaffrey's the guy. All right. That being said, so now we're what, in about the fourth or fifth round? This is where I've gone and try to take a guard or a guard. You can take another tackle. Let's say you already took maybe a center. Maybe if you took a center at 31 and you didn't go Graham Barton, you didn't go that route with Morgan, those kind of guys, you could take a guard. And in one of my recent mocks, I think I took him in the fourth round, and it was Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. And this guy plays with so much grittiness, just a lot of nastiness. He just keeps blocking people into the ground. And, you know, the play's completely already gone the other way, and he's still blocking. And so he's a guy, but really, really strong, really strong point of attack, understands that there are times where, and he pulls really, really well. That's one thing I really liked about him. Very big body, but very athletic, very, very fast guy. But when he gets his hands on you, there's not much you can do. And he's going to move you. And so Christian Mahogany is a guy who I think could be there if you're looking to take a guard in that fourth round range. Here's another guy that I don't think will drop into the third or fourth round, but maybe Christian Haynes is another good name to be aware of in that early part of day three, I would say, day three, because I don't know if he'll be there second or third round. He may be gone, but if he lasts, he'd probably go in the fourth, early fourth. So really interesting guy to take there. But if I want to actually say my top two offensive linemen, probably whether, and I really like these two guys, and they've been getting a lot of talk, and one of them is Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia. And yeah, he's an absolute mauler. I mean, he just absolutely pancakes people constantly. And so he's going to be definitely the first center taken. So I think that 31st pick, he may still be there, but he might not. You know, he might go right before you pick at 31. So you might need to move up a few spots, maybe even get into, like I said earlier, get into that 21 range to get either him or Jackson Powers Johnson. Now, Jackson Powers Johnson is the center for Oregon. He's somebody who I have been able to pick a lot of the times at 31. So if he's there at 31st overall, those are my top two centers in this draft. And like I said, the other guards I would probably wait on into the fourth round area, third, fourth, fifth. And it's guys like Christian Haynes, Christian Mahogany. And then here's a wild card pick, more of a fifth rounder probably, fourth or fifth if he's there. But Kyren Amagaji, who, you know, I understand there's a lot of raw skill there. But this guy is really, really an interesting prospect. And I think that in the right system, under the right coaching, I think he could be a really good player. All right. So with that, now we're kind of in that fourth, fifth round range and almost getting into the sixth round. And I really believe that the 49ers need to think about taking either a safety or a tight end. And I do see sometimes this guy dropping into the fourth round, and that is the tight end out of Kansas State, Ben Sinnott. So my top two tight ends in this draft after those first few rounds would be Ben Sinnott and Eric All. So Ben Sinnott and Eric All would be my top two picks. Eric All is the tight end out of Iowa. I would say they're actually both very athletic, good pass catchers, but I think Eric didn't get a lot of targets, and so the numbers don't look as good. But when you look at the tape, you see a guy that's a really great athlete, 6'4", 6'4.5", just really good player, good size, strong, and so and quick too. So he's a guy that I think he could be really good. Both guys need to be good blockers, and that's why the third guy on my list for tight ends, if these guys aren't available, I put probably the best blocking tight end in this whole draft, and that's Tip Reiman, the big 270-pound 4.5 runner, 4.51 or 4.52, I think was his time. Just incredible speed from Tip Reiman at 270 pounds. I don't know if you weighed in at 265 or 270 at the combine, but just incredible athlete, this guy out of Illinois. And so he's the third one if Ben Sinnott and Eric All aren't there. And then I'm going to throw in one more. I know I've been doing two, sometimes three, but I'm going to throw in one of my favorite pass catchers of this entire draft, especially if he's there really late, like sixth round and on, and that's Tanner McLaughlin. Tanner McLaughlin is really good, and I think he's going to be a really good player and a steal for whoever gets him. He's the tight end out of Arizona. Again, the ideal size, big guy, strong, fast, really good hands. Almost surprising that he usually falls to this late, and I think a lot of that has to do with just, you know, Arizona hadn't been really up for very long. They're just recently coming back up and being a really pretty good program again. But sometimes there's so much depth and then so much. For example, I actually would say I would probably put Tanner McLaughlin above Dallin Hulker out of Colorado State. I personally would. I think that he's a better athlete, much better athlete. I think that in the pro game, I think that he's going to be a better pro. I see somebody who's more technically sound. I see somebody who's just as strong, if not much stronger, and very tall. I see somebody who's going to be a problem for teams for a long time to come, especially, you know, safeties and linebackers having to match up on this guy. So, but again, my top two, though, Ben Sinnott, very athletic, great pass catcher out of Kansas State, and Eric All, the tight end out of Iowa. So those would be my tight ends. And then safeties, that's another position that I honestly, with all the depth that we have, I do think that because of the injury history going on now, especially with Talanoa's injury history, going even back to his USC days, I do think that we could potentially take one of these two guys, and I'll give you a third, but former teammate, probably was former teammate, he was pretty young, but Callan Bullock, he's a really, really interesting guy. I hope I'm saying his first name right, Callan Bullock, who is a safety out of USC, really great player, great vision, kind of a ball hawk type guy, maybe not as physical necessarily, but a really sure tackler, more of a ball hawk, I would say, just great vision. And then the other guy I really like, 6'3", Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. safety, very, very good instincts. Somebody who almost reminds me a little bit of Merton Hanks, to be honest. I just really liked his game. Really smart player. And just a guy that I really enjoyed. Really enjoyed seeing his breaks on the ball. He seemed to always know exactly when to break on the ball and when to not, and when to be in coverage and break up the pass, especially in the red zone. And then the third guy is just a flat-out hitter. This dude loves to hit, can play the run and the pass equally as well, but I think his strength is coming in the box and making a big impact in the run game, and that's Ketan Oladapo. Ketan Oladapo out of Oregon State. Very physical guy. Very physical. Again, 6'2", 6'3", 200 pounds. It might be 210. And just really, really strong guy. But a lot faster, too, especially for a guy that will probably get drafted in that fifth, sixth round. Just surprising that he would last that long. But typically in my mock drafts, he does. He does last into the fifth. So Ketan Oladapo. And so with that, we've done the offensive line, we've done receivers, we've done corners, we've done tight ends, a few position groups. Oh, I know which ones we've forgotten. So I talked a little bit about running backs, and there's one guy in particular that I've found in the fifth round. Well, two guys, but one that I really like, and I think Kyle would love this guy. He was a former quarterback, but now he's a really good running back for the Boilermakers, and that's Tyrone Tracy Jr. Really like watching. Great runner, one cut guy, but a very, very quick runner. Just reads, kind of patient too, I would say. I was surprised how patient he was, because he's a pretty good, quick and shifty guy. So you would think he wouldn't be as patient and just let his athleticism get the yak for him, but he was really good at following his blocks and then exploding through the hole. And so Tyrone Tracy Jr., really good player out of Purdue. And then the other guy that I just like, just very polished player. Again, smart runner, knows where to follow his blocks, and then gets plenty of yak, is Will Shipley. Big dude too, good size, can catch some good screen, good in the screen game. Tyrone was pretty good in the screen game too, but I thought Will Shipley out of Clemson did a really good job in that. And really strong kid too, really strong. So if you need him, you know, in goal line and things of that nature, I think that he'd be a good rotational back. And so these are guys, again, for running back, I'm thinking fifth round on. And that's just because no matter what, this depth chart's going to have at least two, probably the three running backs. So if you look at whether, you know, Elijah is there, so you have CMC, Elijah, and Mason right now. And so, again, to me, I would almost flip-flop Mason and Elijah, just because I just think Jordan Mason has done such a great job. And that's no knock on Elijah. It's just Elijah's been hurt so much. And in that time, I think Jordan Mason has just overtaken him, to be honest. I think that when he gets in there, he does such a great job. And it seems like he always gets a positive gain. He gains 5 yards almost every time I see him. And so, or see him get a chance. And so, no matter what, I think the running back room is set with three guys. And I know that the contract situation long-term isn't set for either of the backups, but, and I think that's probably where I also mentioned these guys. And of course, after Will Shipley and Tyrone Tracy Jr., I did put Frank Gore Jr. So another legacy pick. I can't put Frank above those two guys. I just can't. I watched the tape and I love watching Frank Jr. play. Does remind me so much of his dad. And as I've said on this show before, I don't like to do the comparisons, but in this case, I will, just because he just reminds me so much of his dad in the way that he runs. And so it's fun to watch. It's definitely nostalgic, but I do think that watching the way that Tyrone plays and Will Shipley, I think that they bring a little bit more to the table, not only in terms of the size, but they bring a little bit more of the speed and physicality. Not that Frank Gore Jr. is slow, not at all, but he's a guy that I do think if he were faster, he could go much earlier in this draft and the size measurables wouldn't be as much of a thing. But I think the fact that he's just quick but not fast, much like his dad when he got to the NFL, although I think Frank Sr. in his prime before all the injuries, as I've said before, I think probably Frank was faster than his son when I watched the very, very old tape, like when his in his Miami days before the injuries. Not much of that tape left, but check it out. I think you might still be able to find a few clips. He looked a bit more dynamic, I would say. And I think that that's probably my other thing. I really like Frank. I think he's a good running back. I think he's a smart running back. But unless he's able to find some kind of a niche in whatever role and whatever offense he's in, he's going to be a rotational back more than likely because he's not as dynamic, I would say, as his dad was, you know. And I'm sorry to say that, but I'll say this aside from the comparison with his dad, I think he's not as dynamic as some of the other backs that are in this draft, and I think that that's something to keep in mind. Is, you know, I think it's important to not only find a guy that he can put up the numbers for sure, even though a lot of it wasn't against top end competition, but it was also, you know, how would this guy project in an NFL game? And I just think those other two guys, I think, would project better. But he's definitely there. I mean, I think he's there. If he's there late, you know, seventh round, especially undrafted, as I've said before, I think you got to give him a chance just because of the player that he is, not because of the name, because of the player that he is. I think he's going to be a very, very interesting rotational player. I think he can get really good, become a better player in the right system. But I think that he's going to need to do some things just like his dad did, where he's going to really have to prove it down in and down out. He's going to have to be a grinder. But that said, I think we're on to our last position group, and that is edge. The edge. This was so much fun, everybody. I have to say, there was a ton of different guys. There's a bunch of different ways you can go. Again, I kind of similar to before with the D tackles. If a guy is there in the second round and he's just fantastic, I have a hard time not taking a pass rusher because of the positional need, even though I know we've addressed it with Leonard Floyd, but it's not a super long-term contract, right? It's just a couple years. And also, it's also very likely that he could be a rotational piece as well, especially if you get a rookie in there that can be more of a mainstay at and a bigger body at defensive end, which we know the 49ers like. So for me, I picked two big bodies and two guys that very strong and very can play the run just as well as the pass. And that was Adisa Isaac. If you haven't seen him, number 20 out of Penn State, just a fantastic technician. He's the whole package because he's not only a technician in terms of being able to slap away those hands or hit guys with the swim move, whatever, but he's a powerful dude too. He gets into the pad level there of whoever he's rushing against. And I really, really love watching him play. Adisa Isaac, defensive end out of Penn State. And then my second favorite, and this guy is like, for those of you who remember Javon Curse, that's what this dude looks like. He is an absolute monster, and I love watching him play. Muhammad Kamara. Mo Kamara out of Colorado State is just, like I said, he's an absolute beast. He's a specimen physically, but when you turn on the tape, sometimes you watch guys, and physically they look fantastic, but you see the play, and it doesn't match the physicality. Well, that's not the case with Mo, and a lot of people call him Mo, so that's what I'm going to say, Mo Kamara. He is a guy that his play absolutely matches his physicality and how he's built. He's fast. He's got the burst. He's got that dynamic quality that I always look for in my evaluations. And to me, Muhammad Kamara, if he's there, sometimes he's there in the third round. Sometimes he's there in the fourth, believe it or not. Rarely fourth, but I'd say probably in the third. So he's a guy that I really like. Adisa Isaac, Muhammad Kamara. And then one guy that I really like late, and I know I didn't forget about Javon Solomon. I didn't. But I had to put this third guy above Javon. So Javon's my fourth guy. But above him is somebody who's usually there in the fifth round. And I don't know why the mocks don't have him going earlier typically. Sometimes they do. But Brennan Jackson, he was a great, great big dude, defensive end out of Washington State, just incredible. Again, really big, strong guy. Reminds you a bit of Bosa in terms of just the thickness, but a great athlete and a guy who just always was in the backfield. Lots of tackles for loss, but lots of sacks as well. He got into double-digit sacks this past season at Wazoo. So just a guy that really, really enjoyed watching his tape, watching his burst. And to me, defensive end play has to be about that first step, that burst. Sometimes you watch the tape and guys are taking a long time to get into the lineman and then beat them and then they get in for the sack. But, you know, that's been five, you know, it seems like 5 seconds. And in the NFL, you're not going to get sacks that way. These quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball faster and faster every year. You know, it's like these guys were studying Tom Brady ever since they were little kids. And even though they can't be him, but they're trying to get rid of the ball as quickly as he did, right? It's that understanding that that's how you stay healthy in the NFL. And that underneath stuff is always open, it seems like. So, you know, you got a second and a half. And so that first step or two needs to be explosive. And for me, Brennan Jackson just is a really good at that first step, much like Adisa Isaac and Muhammad Kamara, where it's there. He's there in a hurry. It doesn't take long, and he's either there to sack the quarterback or he's there to absolutely nail your running back for a 5-yard loss. So he's a guy I really enjoyed. So if for some reason Adisa Isaac and Muhammad Kamara are gone, even by the third round, fourth round, you get in there, you try to get, they're gone. You know, I'd say Brennan Jackson in the fifth, sometimes the sixth, he's a really, really good value pick at defensive end. So all that said, I'm very excited, as you can tell, faithful. I can't wait for this draft to start, and I'll do my best to catch. I should be home by then, and I'll try to catch as much as I can, and then I'll try to do a little bit more posting this week if I can. But I gave you my breakdown. This is it. This was about, like I said, I've probably done 40 or 50 mocks at this point. And these are my guys. These are the guys I'd go with. These are the guys I think the 49ers would be in a great, great position to pick, and they would make this team better. Thank you so much, as always. Take care, faithful.